Now we are going to talk with Father Chris Charteris, a Jesuit priest, who is with us today. Father Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Father Solly.
Yes,
how are the they where you are in the Jesuit Institute?
It's fine and sunny. Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed, Father Chris. And it's beautiful. Nice to have you today with us on the studio. Now, would you please explain to us, Father Chris, this the Halloween. What is it actually?
Halloween. Well, it's starting with the word. It's from Old English word meaning All Hallows Evening. In other words, the vigil of All Saints. That's the idea that, you know, we prepare for the feast the evening before. It's now come to mean something a little bit different. When I was a child, we didn't celebrate Halloween. I think it's come from the United States in its kind of modern cultural dress. But it's originally, it is what we do normally before a big feast. We prepare for a feast, the Feast of All Saints. And that's the original Christian meaning.
Thanks very much, Father Chris. And tell me now, who really celebrated this beautiful celebration indeed? Because for some of us, you know, it's a little bit strange, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's become, I think, kind of commercialized in its modern cultural American form. Some of these things that come from the United States are fairly recent. I mean, like, did you do Black Friday when you were small, for example?
Well, Black Friday came, you know, I think I recognized it when I was just, you know, in my middle ages, you know, in the 40s, in the 30s.
Right, yeah. So all the kind of scary stuff around Halloween and kids going out and dressing up as spooks and things like that, that does seem to have some origin in some old medieval, maybe even pre-Christian stuff that came to us through immigrants, European immigrants to the United States, and then has become, as I say, rather commercialized and so on. So it does seem as though there's some evidence that at that time people used to go around, you know, in the pre-Christian times, people used to go around trying to scare away spooks and evil spirits and so on by lighting fires and banging pots and all of that kind of thing. But it's fairly clear that the church decided, if that was going on, they decided to take it over and kind of make it into, as I say, Halloween, the Feast of All Saints, and to Christianize it. But you know, you always get things that lag from. I mean, for example, if I, as an English speaker, say, if there's a situation which is a bit precarious, I'll say, well, I hope this works out. Touch wood. It's very old. Does that mean I'm still worshipping trees like Druid ancestors back, you know, 2,000 years ago? No, it doesn't. It's just the sort of hangover. And I think another thing that kicks in with this, all the kind of scary stuff that we look at, is that, like with, say, Easter, when we give kids chocolate bunnies and chocolate eggs, or like at Christmas, where we give them treats and gifts, etc. It's about amusing children and letting children have a bit of fun. And so they can go out and they can... And they can, you know, do this kind of trick or treat stuff. There's a number of interesting theories as to where the trick or treat thing comes from. One of which is actually quite Christian. One theory is that in the Middle Ages, poor Christian children would go around the houses offering to pray for the souls of the dead, to the souls in purgatory, in exchange for some treats. So, I mean, you know, some of these things can be, possibly, we don't really know, but trace back also to Christian origins. But I think it's become these days a kind of commercial thing, and it allows kids to have a little bit of fun, so they go out and scare each other and scare the neighbors and so on. But I mean, what we should really be doing, it seems to me, is using it as a moment of catechesis. so that, for example, as in Christmas, you know, the gifts and all of that are very important, but we must go deeper and to help children understand what it's all about, the birth of Christ and the word incarnate and all of that kind of thing, so that as they grow up, they really understand what this celebration is about, and it doesn't just remain a kind of on a sort of materialistic level. So same with Halloween, to say, well, we really are. We're preparing for the celebration of All Saints of the Church, and so. And I think that could probably well be said to many adults too, because they don't know what it means. I mean, the word is a Christian word. All Hallows Evening, the evening of All Saints.
Yes.
Do most Catholics, Christians know that? Probably not. So I think it can be quite a useful moment of catechesis and evangelization if we use it properly and help people to grow and mature in their faith by looking at what actually is going on and giving them some explanation of the history and so on.
Actually, I was just even looking at those key activities now of the Halloween, you know, as you mentioned, you know, looking at the tricky, you know, or treating, as you said, children in costume, you know, go to door asking for treats or typical candy, and also looking at the costume, you know, people wearing costume, which can range, like as you say, I mean, from scary to creative and can be for all ages. And also looking at these, jack-o'-lanterns, you know, people carve faces into pumpkins, you know, to create lanterns or originally to ward off the spirit. And also the parties and other activities, you know, Halloween parties are common, as you said, you know, often featuring games like apple bombing and haunted houses. Now, in short, what can you say so that those who don't understand all these kind of things, they can understand also the key activities as now, as you mentioned that, I mean, on the eve of the Feast of All Saints, which is actually tomorrow, you know, in the evening that, you know, we will experience this kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, a very broad comment, I think, is to say that if those things do come out of, you know, pagan, pre-Christian origins, at least it points to a world that believed in the spiritual world, believed in spirituality. I mean, it needed to be purified and Christianized, but I think that's one. All of those different activities seem to have different roots. The jack-o'-lantern thing is some people trace back to a legend about a man who was somehow caught between his life on earth and the spirit world and was sort of wandering the earth, etc. So, you know, those are kind of interesting, but it does seem to me that that they do point to a world in which people actually believe that there were things like spirits. And that's a challenge to a world which doesn't believe in anything.
Yes, so indeed.
There's something there. There's also possibly an interesting phenomenon which goes on, which I think is summed up by G.K. Chesterton, who says that when people cease to believe in God, they don't start to believe in nothing. They start to believe in anything. You know, they say, oh, we'll do Halloween, we'll have a bit of Christmas, and they sort of pick and choose and get all sorts of odds and ends, and they don't have too many coherent beliefs. And so it's possibly a challenge to us to try and help people to kind of focus on God, and then from there other things start to make sense. But if they've got a bit of a kind of mishmash of beliefs, there's a lot of confusion out there. So what to do with those activities? Maybe, as I say, to try and catechize people a little bit, maybe go back into the story, etc., and to explain.
Yes, indeed. I mean, that's very, very true. And
take something like Guy Fawkes Night, let off fireworks, etc., but actually there's a historical There's a very interesting historical thing about that, which involves religion, I've learned since I was a kid letting off fireworks. But it's whether we move on get more information and pass it on.
Yes, indeed. We had a lot of discussion, I remember, with the historian, you know, especially when you come to celebrate liturgy and other things in the church. Now, I was just thinking with this Halloween now, the celebration of Halloween, you know, as you mentioned, the historical part of it or the origin part of it. Now, how it originated and also how it brought, you know, life, you know, something into the lives of the people. You know, for example, now someone has said to me, you know, Solomon, look now. Sometimes when you sing Christmas songs, you know, we see the snow, we see all, you know, that coldness. But here in the continent, you know, it's very warm, you know. So there's a little bit of contradiction in a sense that, you know, the hymns we sing, they don't go along with what we're experiencing in this part of the world, you know, when you put those hymns, you know, into practice. Now, when we move into the Halloween now, that culture or people, the origin part of it, you know, how will we celebrate it and make sure that it comes together with the origin of it, part of it, you know, where it comes from? Is there anything you'd like to say on that part?
That's really interesting. It's a very, very good question, isn't it? I mean, Halloween is really, it's not exactly, it's not part of the culture at all here in Southern Africa. I mean, this modern form is an American, as I say, a sort of American invasion. You know, apologies to Americans. And also, the older part is to do with medieval Europeans. Mm. So, I mean, I think it's about getting in touch with the spiritual world in a way which is helpful to us.
Yes.
I mean, if we think about our own saints, I think is the way in for us here. In Southern Africa, we should be thinking about people like Benedict Daswa and our own African saints, our ancestors in the faith. That might be, you know, if you're doing a little bit of catechetics to be talking along those lines. These are just thoughts that are coming off the top of my head, but I think you put your finger on a real, really important question about how we sort of resist being kind of culturally invaded by some of this crazy stuff, and then work on enculturating the heart of the thing, which is about celebrating our saints or preparing for the celebration of all saints.
Yes.
And to be able to do that, I mean, you could imagine some little liturgies in which children could dress up as saints, for example, as our local saints, as a sort of alternative. So
yes,
there are great possibilities. It's not going to go away, but we can use it as a sort of a springboard to deeper reflection and greater faith, I think.
Yes, and we see the animals, you know, there in the Halloween, you know, always representing the Halloween. You know, for example, the black cat, the owl, the bird, and the spider, among other animals now. Is there anything which you can say to us, you know, what do those animals, what is the symbolic part of that? You know, what do they represent?
That's very interesting, isn't it? Because apparently the black cat was something which went around with witches in medieval Europe, and black cats are not particularly too favored in Africa, in this part of Africa. maybe there are some universal symbols. You know, owls are not great, and so on. So I think these are probably symbols of our own fears and anxieties of, and once again, too, it's good. We should know what our fears are and what they are and face them, and see if, well, you know, okay, in the end, a black cat is just a black cat.
You know, I was just even thinking, you know, yeah, yes, continue further.
Well, you know, what fear does it point to in me? You know, the kind of stealthy animal, which is quiet, etc. Or you know, the owl or a spider. Why are we afraid of spiders? Well, there's some that are poisonous. You know? So there are real fears, I think, that we're looking at there. And maybe these things give us an opportunity to explore our fears and come to terms with them and find greater courage in the face of them.
Yeah. I mean, I'll imagine now the world of today, you know, looking at faith itself and also the living in the secularized world. You know, you see little children going to church, you see them again on the social media. And the modern life has taken, you know, charge of many things. And I'm just wondering, you know, the kids, how do they understand the Halloween today, you know, as we understood it in the 90s or in the 80s? Because these things we could see Why? Because we had that kind of a social communication. We had that kind of a family or a community. But today, most people are just individual, you know, on themselves. You know, people, they just stay by themselves. And I was just thinking, you know, the parallel with the modern world and Halloween. Do you think that this celebration of Halloween, how can it really change the world of today? Or how can we emphasize it if it needs to be emphasized in one way or the other? Or what kind of thing can we embrace in this part of the world, which again will symbolize, you know, well, the Halloween itself?
Well, I think in a secular world, as I'm saying, to try to reclaim the whole business of a world in which we believe in the spiritual, I think is important. But I think what you said there about social media is really important. We need to see what the social media is saying about these things to our children. And it is possible that in some cases the messages could be, well, basically very materialistic for one thing, or even sinister in other ways. And there have been some people who have suggested that this particular celebration has been tainted by Satanism. I don't know if there's any evidence of that, or any widespread evidence of it. But it is important for us to see, well, what are the media saying to young people, and to be able to get onto those media, as we're trying to do today, and to counter any malign influences that there are there, but also to explain the origins of these things clearly, so that as kids grow up, they realize, well,
and yes, indeed,
what I was doing was just facing my fears of the dark and having fun and so on and so forth. But at the same time, I was echoing a former age where people actually, you know, believed in saints and spirits and so on. And they can then make the decisions about their faith, which they need to make as adults.
Yes, thanks very much, Father Chris. It was very good discussion with you, and thanks very much for the knowledge you have, you know, on the Halloween, and thanks very much for the enthusiasm, really. And we hope that we can again try by all means to make the world, especially the youth, especially the young people, to understand, so that these things, they don't die out, and also that the meaning is understood holistically. And thanks very much, and would you please give us a blessing, Father Chris?
Sure. May the Lord send his face, grace upon us. May his face shine upon us. And as we come to the celebration of All Saints, may we be inspired by the examples of these, our ancestors in the faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And that was Father Chris Charteris, a Jesuit priest who is in Johannesburg, who was explaining to us the Halloween. And thanks very much, Father Chris. And we'll have you sometime again. And may God bless you and have a beautiful day. And now we are going to move into a prayer circle.